Orlo raised an eyebrow. "You know, on balance, I think that what I'm about to discuss with you is less crazy than that. But the HTW," he nodded in the direction of the Orathena dig, "is a cozy and familiar form of craziness." He paused for a few moments, returning his gaze to me. "Who are you talking to?" Orlo asked. I was wrong-footed by this bizarre question and took a moment to be certain I'd heard the question right. "I'm talking to Orlo," I said. "What is this Orlo? If a geometer landed here and engaged you in conversation, how would you characterize Orlo to it?" "As the man, the very complicated, bipedal, slightly hot, animated entity, standing right over there. But depending on how a geometer sees things, it might respond, 'I see nothing there but vacuum with a sparse dusting of probability waves.'" "Well, vacuum with a sparse dusting of probability waves is an accurate description of just about everything in the universe," I pointed out. "So if the geometer was not able to recognize objects any more effectively than that, he could scarcely be considered a conscious being. After all, if it's having a conversation with me, it must recognize me as—"
"Not so fast," Orlo said. "Let's say you are talking to the geometer by typing into a G-jaw or something. It knows you only as a stream of digits. Now you have to use those digits to supply a description of Orlo, or of yourself, that it would recognize."
"Okay. I'd agree with the geometer on some way to describe space. Then I'd say, 'Consider the volume of space 5 feet in front of my position, about 6 feet high, 2 wide, and 2 deep. The probability waves that we call matter are somewhat denser inside of that box than they are outside of it,' and so on."
"Denser because there's a lot of meat in that box," Orlo said, slapping his abdomen. "But outside of it, only air."
"Yes, I should think any conscious entity should be able to recognize the meat-air boundary. What's on the inside of the boundary is Orlo."
"Funny that you have such firm opinions on what conscious beings ought to be able to do," Orlo warned me.
"Well, let me see. What about this?" He held up a fold of his bolt. "Just as I can describe the meat-air boundary, I can describe how bolt stuff differs from both meat and air, and explain that Orlo is wrapped in bolt stuff."
"There you go, making assumptions," Orlo chided me.
"Such as?"
"Let's say that the geometer you're talking to has been inculcated in his civilization's equivalent of the Skonix. He'll say, 'Wait a minute, you can't really know. You're not allowed to make statements about things in themselves, only about your perceptions.'"
"True.
So you need to rephrase your statement in terms of the givens that are actually available to you."
"All right," I said. "Instead of saying Orlo is wrapped in bolt stuff, I'll say, 'When I gaze at Orlo from where I'm standing, I see mostly bolt with bits of Orlo, his head and his hands, peeking out. But I don't see why it matters.'"
"It matters because the geometer can't stand where you are standing. It has to stand somewhere else and see me from a different angle."
"Yes, but the bolt wraps all the way around your body.
How do you know I'm not naked and back?"
"Because I've seen lots of bolts and I know how they work."
"But if you were a geometer, seeing one for the first time,
I'd still be able to surmise that you were not naked and back, because if you were, the bolt would hang differently."
"What if I got rid of the bolt and stood here naked?"
"What if you did?"
"How would you describe me to the geometer then? What would meet your eye and the geometer's?"
"I would say to the geometer, 'From where I stand, all I see is Orlo skin. From where you stand, O geometer, the same is likely true.'"
"And why is it likely?"
"Because without skin, your blood and guts would fall out. Since I can't see a puddle of blood and guts behind you, I can infer that your skin must be in place.
Just as you infer that my bolt must continue all the way round me and back, from the way in which its visible part hangs."
"Yes, I guess it's the same general principle."
"Well, it seems that this process you call consciousness is somewhat more complex than you perhaps gave it credit for at first," Orlo said. "One must be able to take in givens from sparse dustings of probability waves in a vacuum."
"I.e., see stuff."
"Yes. and perform the trick of integrating those givens into seemingly persistent objects that can be held in consciousness. But that's not all. You perceive only one side of me, but you were all the time drawing inferences about my other side, that my bolt continues round and back, that I have skin, inferences that reflect an innate understanding of theoretical laws. You can't seem to make these inferences without performing little thought experiments in your head. If the bolt didn't continue round and back, it would hang differently. If Orlo had no skin, his guts would fall out. In each of those cases, you are using your understanding of the laws of dynamics to explore a little counterfactual universe inside of your head, a universe where the bolt or the skin isn't there. And you are then running that universe in fast forward, like a spiele, to see what would happen.